Kathy, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. So,
okay.
Just a little bit about the stories behind this book. What made you, or prompted you, mm-hmm. I guess, to kind of reflect a little bit on your Catholic upbringing in this book?
Well, my family, when we get together, we would remind ourselves of all these crazy things that happened to us when we were growing up, going to St. Catherine's School in Dundee, Illinois. And, you know, I just started writing them down. Finally figured out I had enough to make a book. So that's what it's about.
I guess, you know, in a sense, though, because you're able to sort of remember, recall it, there's a lot of different incidents mm-hmm. or things related to that. I guess take us back. What time period are we talking about that you were attending Catholic school?
From the mid-50s to the mid-60s.
Okay.
So I graduated, I think, in 1964.
Okay. Rocco, who's with me now, kind of did a Catholic education decades later, and he says, I don't think there's anything that's going to be similar to that. Though I suppose there's maybe a constant little bit of a theme. Take us back to some of the things that you kind of remember, or the stories, you know, that kind of would keep coming up, or those parts that you thought, did this really happen?
Sure. So, the first thing that happened, the first story in the book is about having the nuns talk to us about hell and about the snake, you know, the Adam Eve story. So I can remember coming home from school with a girlfriend who wasn't Catholic, and there's this big hole in the street and all this noise going on. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, that's hell. And then later on, when I get back home from school, after talking about the devil and everything, I go into this rhubarb patch, and there's a snake in the rhubarb. And, of course, I think it's, you know, the devil chasing me. So I run home and hide in my attic. So I remember that quite a bit. There's also a story about indulgences, how the Catholic Church, you could pray and you'd save up all of these indulgences. And they could get you out, you know, and they were in days, so it would get you out of purgatory, and you could go straight to heaven. And that was quite something that was quite interesting. So I would pray every night, and I put all these things in the notebook so that I would know how many indulgences I had, so I could get out of hell for, you know, doing little sins like, you know, picking on my brother and stuff like that. First communion was another thing I remember, and all of the fodder all around that, and you know, the dress was the thing. And then going into later days, you know, a priest that would come and tell girls that you know, it's your job to make sure that nothing happens between you and a boy. And, you know, and you can't be kissing and you can't be flirting and all of these rules and regulations around that. Where at the time we were in eighth grade, so we were kind of going, oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that. Just normal things that kids go through, and kind of colored by the dogma that gets more and more ridiculous as we get old enough to realize that it's just crazy.
Kathy, it's funny. I joke with other kids who went to separate Catholic grade schools than me, and we joke all the time
yeah.
about how we may as well have, you know, lived the same exact life. We had the same experiences, mm-hmm. similar experiences in school and out of school. Do you find yourself in that same boat, talking to people who maybe had a different Catholic education, but yet still kind of the exact same in a lot of ways?
Exact same. We have some of the same stories. I have my husband's family. He went to Catholic school. His siblings went to Catholic school. And it is funny, when Catholic people get together, you know, that went through that experience, I think they kind of go back and slap stories like that.
Well, one of the things I'd seen is in the preface of the book related to, there was sort of a box of things that your mother had, or you'd gone through stuff. What kind of things
right.
were left over that sort of triggered some of those memories that you could, you know, look
right.
at?
Right. Well, scapular, do you remember scapulars? Anybody went to Catholic church with this little thing that had strings and two little patches with itchy side. You were supposed to wear the itchy side under your shirt so that it would remind you of the suffering of Jesus. And I kind of turned mine around and wore itchy side out because I hated that thing. Yeah, there was my little rosary in there, my little prayer book. And in this inside of the prayer book, there was this little indented place, and there was an actual little cross with a little Jesus on it. And I played with that thing enough that I wiggled the legs back and forth until they broke. I would play with that in church instead of listening, of course. And I discovered that that there wasn't a real cross under there. It was just a blank space, and it was kind of covered up. So what else was in there? A graduation program, a little booklet about what you needed to know to be confirmed. That was a thing that they did, a segment that they did when you were in about sixth grade, I think. So lots of things like that, just little mementos, little Catholic mementos.
Kathy, if you're still around the Catholic education and around Catholicism a lot, obviously things have eased up, maybe wouldn't be the best word to use, but it doesn't seem as strict now as it maybe was back then. Just kind of curious your thoughts on that. Is that something you're a fan of? Did you maybe wish it was more strict like it was? Or how do you view that?
Oh, no, I would never wish it was more strict. I think there's been a lot of good things happening. You know, things like I was taught that my Protestant grandparents could never get into heaven because they were Protestant. No, that's not the case anymore. So they have gotten more, I guess, liberal is kind of a funny word for it, but, you know, they have eased up. They've gotten more human about it. Maybe that's a better word. So I think that's always a good thing.
We were talking today with Kathy Drew. The book is called Serious Little Catholics. It's a memoir, but I think also in a sense there's certain stories that you look at those and you kind of laugh and you sort of see how certain religious teachings affect minds of children different ways, right? I mean, what they pick up, what the message is, and maybe what they pick up might not always be the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, sometimes I wonder if there was even if some of the nuns even kind of took some of those rules and made them a little more serious than they were meant to be. It just kind of depended on the nun. And the stories are also about just this crazy big family that I was the oldest kid. And my parents started a business when I was in fourth grade. And so I was kind of the surrogate mom for all of them. So there was a lot of things that were just about being a big family, too.
Do you remember sort of parroting what the nuns were saying to your younger siblings as well? I mean, did you kind of take that role in a sense? Or were you...
Yeah, I think I probably threatened them with, that's a sin if you don't obey me kind of thing, just to try and get them. But of course, you know, they didn't buy it.
Well, it's worth a try. Why not? Now I'm looking at different chapters you have on here, and I don't know whether I want to go to the rotten banana story or the urinals.
Okay.
Your choice on that one. Or
okay, well, the rotten bananas was about the fact that we had this, you know, really big family and not a whole lot of money. So my father would go to the local A&P grocery store and buy anything that was spoiled, you know, for a quarter. And we'd bring all this stuff home, and we'd have to wash it, clean it, sort it. And one of the things that we always got was bananas. And they were, you know, I never had a yellow banana until I was old enough to buy my own groceries. And so then we'd have to figure out what to do with them. So there's examples of stuff that he would do. And he would take my next brother with us, and he would do this whole, you know, he'd flirt with the clerks, and he'd, you know, say, look at these skinny kids. They're so skinny, and I got all these more, you know, behind me. It was all a big act, you know, that he would do because he was kind of a frustrated actor, but he would embarrass us around buying this rotten food.
Trying to get it as much. Wow.
Trying to get as much as he could. And, you know, they were going to throw it out anyway. They probably would have just given it to him if he'd asked them.
Were you able to share some of these stories with your siblings at all, or kind of use them as sort of people to fill out some of the stories? Tell me about that, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things when we would get together, even now we get together and we go, remember when this happened? So, they all know about it. I've shared a lot of stories. I've asked their permission because there's a few things that potentially could be embarrassing to them, and they really didn't care.
Well, the statute of limitations might have run out on some of those things anyway for them, or at least they want to be a part of it. And there's only so many names you can change, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Serious Little Catholics. hilarious memoir. That is this now, Kathy? Is this your first book that you've put together, or what? What's your background as far as putting, you know, doing it as being a writer?
Well, I kind of came into writing later in life after I retired from being a school teacher. So yeah, it's my first published work. I've been working on it for 10 years, you know, putting it away and getting it out again. It finally kind of got tucked into trying to publish it. So
they said it's time for you to release it. Let it go.
It's time. It is time.
Put it out there as well.
But that's right.
Yeah.
What happened?
Again, the book is called Serious Little Catholics. I was still chuckling at the title, The Devil in the Rhubarb. I thought that's, I mean, just that title itself, it sounds like a good book title anyway. But that's, uh-huh. That's a funny story about that. And, of course, I guess in some of these stories, it's different explaining sort of if you have a Catholic upbringing to those who are non-Catholic, certain things that, you know, you don't know if you're living a parallel life than what they may see it.
Right, yeah. And, there's, you know, some people were kind of raised with not much of any kind of religion. And you know, most people kind of think it's, you know, because it's funny, I think they, you know, they get something out of it, just the craziness of all of these kids. And regular school was pretty regimented at that time, too, where you needed to raise your hand, you need to sit still, you need to be quiet, hold your hands on your desk. I think that there were plenty of schools and school teachers that were also pretty strict.
Right. Well, there's a sentence in there that says where you ran home from school and you changed your clothes to go out and play. I don't know how much that happens anymore. You know, this.
I don't. Yeah. I don't think it does.
One set of clothes that you'd wear at school, and then one that you'd go out and be able to play with as well, too. So
yeah.
A little bit of change with that. But it's kind of a fun look back, again, from the mid-50s to the 60s as well. Our guest this morning, Kathy Giroux. Kathy, thank you for sharing the time with us today. If you want to get a hold of the book, where's a good place for them to find it?
All the usual places, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. I have a website that's just kathygiroux.com, and that has a link for independent bookstores also.
Right. Now, I see on the cover there's a photo. Any other photos within the book as well, or did you?
No, just that one.
Just that one.
Yeah, and that's, you can, on the cover, it shows me in the middle of my two brothers, and I've kind of got a chokehold on the back of their necks. So I need to sit.
Yeah, well, they're wearing nice suits, though. Yeah. The young men in nice-looking suits there as well.
That's right. We're ready to go, ready for church.
Absolutely. Kathy, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing the stories with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. It is 8:50 at AM 930 WEOL.